At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. Wastelanders, Vault Dwellers, welcome back to the Fallout Lorecast. This is your host, Tom, or Robots, and I am here today with a cast of characters. Our patrons are joining us. It is the end of April, and I have some wonderful guests with me today to talk about our topic. We are discussing if we were in the Wasteland and we were founding our own faction, what our goals would be, what we would want to accomplish, how we would do it, what we would put together, and maybe even what symbolism, what, I don't know if we would have like a role model or a character as like a theme, or I don't know. I mean, this might get wacky. This might get super serious. I don't know where we're going to go with this. So I'm super excited to see what they come up with today. So let's just introduce everybody and get this rolling. Lil Green is back. Lil Green.
How's it going? Always happy to be here.
Buddy, welcome back. I'm super excited to see what you're going to say. I know you're a creative guy. I have some feelings that you might be throwing out some interesting ideas here. We also have Maverick, who's back. He's saying hello with a fork. I guess he's eating some dinner, maybe. Maverick, what's going on, buddy?
Yes, there we go. I'm going to be eating dinner.
Cool, man. I'm glad you're returning. And then Nova is back. Nova is not fighting a tornado this time, I guess.
Yeah, that was quite the interesting time last session, I suppose I'd just say. Hello, everyone. How are you guys doing?
Welcome back, buddy. All right, guys. So who wants to kick this off? You're in the Wasteland during, say, the events of, let's just throw it 200 years after the bombs. Things are not looking particularly great, right? We've got monsters and ghouls and super mutants and vaults still opening up or dilapidated and people are finding them again. You have limitations on healthy food, water. You've got raiders out there. You have a place where it might be difficult to grow crops. You have a bunch of wastelanders just scraping to get by. There's a lot of things that need to be done in the wasteland. There's a lot of people who are looking to take advantage of those who are in difficult situations. And there's a lot of factions out there pushing for their own agendas. We talk about these factions all the time, right? We got the Brotherhood, the Enclave, all sorts of different factions. But you are now the leader of a brand new faction. Something you've done, something you've said has rallied a group around you for some reason. Who wants to go first? What is that reason? What is your faction? What are you called? Lil, you want to start us off?
Yeah, I guess I'll start off. I mean, I put a little bit of thought into it, and I guess what I came up with is something I would like to call the cleaners.
The cleaners. Okay, so when you say cleaners, I think of Back for Blood, because they're called cleaners, and they're killing a bunch of zombies.
That's kind of what I'm going with, actually. So, like, throughout the wasteland, you have all the abandoned buildings, facilities, and just all the abandoned places that have God knows what in them, meaning either like an enemy or, you know, just creatures, ghouls, and they also have loot. Mm-hmm. So going around, like, you know, like an area and cleaning out just everything, and then also so on the back end, you'd be a trading faction as well. So yeah, Making it safer and profitable.
Okay. Okay. So these are the people whose job it is to explore places that have yet to be pillaged or gone through.
Yeah.
To clean out all of the terrible things, regardless of what it is they come across. So they are armed to the teeth, I would suppose.
As armed as it can be, honestly.
Right. So whether it's rad roaches or feral ghouls or a hive of death claws in the super duper mart that they're investigating, yeah, they're ready for whatever. And the thing that keeps them funded and kind of going is the idea that they would then take whatever it is they find and use that to trade with the peoples and the groups that they would find. Now, are they nomadic? Are they just constantly traveling across the country and just, you know, like a vacuum cleaner across the country? I mean, are they?
I feel like it'd be a little bit of yes and a little bit of no. They, like, it'd be like based out of like a central area, like, you know, based out of the Commonwealth, but it would like travel from like a center point out. Okay. So there'd be like caravans going back and forth to like, you know, like new nomadic camps. Yes. So that, you know, there is at least one central place where everybody could go back to, mm-hmm, and like all the trading can be done. So yeah, it's just.
So they have like a home base, like there's,
yeah,
like
they
a
have
central
a home
hub.
Base.
Okay. So if they're making a lot of money off of the things they find in these locations as they clean out new places, then eventually some of the places they clean out are going to get reinfested.
Yeah.
Right. But that means that they also aren't going to have, they're not going to find new items because the items will have all been taken.
Yeah.
So once the items are taken and they have to go back and clean out a new place or a place that's already been cleaned, or for example, let's say there's a village and the village gets attacked by a wandering group of feral ghouls, decides that they're going to just like settle in the village, and they call the cleaners, right? They're like, cleaners, we got some ghouls, we need to take them out. How do they make money there? Do they like charge for cleaning services? Like,
I mean, like, if let's say it is like in a town or a village or something that calls for upon them, yeah, you need to have some sort of payment, whether it's food, water, or caps. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, but like, if like they come across a place, like just a single building, and just trying to go back a little bit, they come across a building that they've already plundered and they know what's inside of it. You know, you're going to keep records of like what was here.
Okay. Yeah. They've got like pit boys with like, yeah, okay, looking up this address. This, we've already, yeah, been here. It's so, like it's clean, also, or it's supposed to be clean, but nope, there's a hive here of,
yeah,
super mutants.
But is it, but then also, is it worth going into it?
Okay, so
because if it's picked clean, then you don't have to go into it and just, you know, mark it saying, hey, you know, like, don't go here, death.
Oh, okay. So when you initially pitched the idea, I was thinking there's like an ideology there that their ultimate goal is to eventually rid the Commonwealth of any of these dangers. But
it's one of those things of like, if you can't keep expending resources on something that keeps popping up, I feel like, as well. So if you could at least limit the danger, then do so. But like, if it's, you know, if it's at least like death claws that keep re-inhabiting like a supermarket, no, just say don't go there.
Okay, so do they then disseminate that information to,
yeah,
the locals?
The way that I personally would do it was just like find a way to mark buildings so that,
oh,
it's very, so yeah,
okay,
just going around and be like, you know, like write death claws or something like that, and just say, you know, do that, enter.
They put a big flag up on top that's like, yeah, the death claw flag, meaning like, yeah, this place is dangerous, don't go in here.
Yeah, kind of like how like some municipalities will put like the red boxes with a red X that says no inhabitants. Mm-hmm. So if it catches on fire, they're like, ah, no, we don't have to go inside.
I gotcha. Okay.
So.
Interesting. Maverick or Nova, do you guys have any questions? I've been throwing a lot of questions because this is very interesting. This is a cool idea, but feel free if you guys have any questions. Nova, do you want to chime in?
Yeah. So it sounds like the cleaners are essentially just like almost mercenaries for hire to me. That's what it kind of sounds like.
But mercenaries for hire for specifically dangerous,
yeah,
creatures,
yeah,
is what it sounds,
yeah,
like.
Okay, so exterminators then.
Yeah.
That's probably a good way of putting it.
Yeah, they're like super exterminators.
I'm just imagining now just like a bunch of guys with fumigators going into like a subway tunnel. That's what I'm imagining. But like, okay, yeah, I kind of like that because it, like people who are, like, it sounds like that you could recruit people who are specifically have been, you know, attacked by Deathclaw or something like that, or the survivors of Deathclaw attacks and, you know, are at, like, want to vendetta against them.
Yeah.
And so they can hire, they can, like, sell their services to different settlements and say, okay, like if you give us X amount of caps, we will keep this amount of people here and like have a ratio for how many people are at the settlement, how many people you keep there for support. And then you have a centralized, like almost a quick reaction force that if the place gets attacked, you send more troops there to go help them out.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like to me, kind of.
No, yeah, that's that. I guess that's like you're elaborating on my idea a little bit more, but yeah, that the like that would be like a good idea of things.
Okay.
So nice. And like a good thing about like recruitment is like there's always, yes, there's a lot of danger going from like place to place, but there's always the benefit of loot. So, you know, if you're going in there, you're going to be picking the best things for yourself to either sell or keep.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then there's always going to be the bulk stuff like that you'd find in any building in like a Fallout game that is good for, you know, like just resources,
especially the legendary loot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're taking the risk, so you're also going to want to take the advantage of being the one who you get the best stuff for having taken the risk to go there.
Yeah, I like that idea. It sounds like a really cool faction.
Yeah. So what about the people who would say like, well, you guys are just hired exterminators. What we really need are like a group of people who are willing to go the extra mile to like really take it to the super mutant problem or the ghoul problem or the deathclaw problem and actually like not just keep pushing them back, because that doesn't actually solve anything. It just kind of delays the inevitable.
Hold on, let me
Maverick.
Sorry. Well, my mouth isn't full with food, that's why I don't have my camera on.
That's fine, dude, that's fine. Truck life, so you gotta eat when you can, man. I understand, go ahead.
Yeah, all it sounds like is more money. If you want more problems taken care of more thoroughly, it sounds like bringing more money their way.
Well, who's gonna fund that though, way. Right? Like who has the money to fund, like Mr. House? Like that sounds like
Mr. House could do it.
Right, I mean, but there are only so many Mr. Houses out in the wasteland.
When I was really coming up with this like idea, the main goal was to like almost map out an area of and just be like, okay, what buildings have been cleaned out, what has the worst dangers, what can even be like used as a habitable place. Mm-hmm. So that you could like it's one for like the faction itself and being like, okay, we've been here, don't go there, and also help the wasteland with being like, okay, these buildings have been cleared out, there's no need for you to go in them, so you don't have to risk your life of being like, oh, maybe I could find some, you know, wood, scraps, metal or anything like that in here.
Mm-hmm.
And just be like, no, it's been cleaned out and there's possibly still something in there, so don't even bother. So it's more of like trying to help other people, and if they want that stuff, they could come and trade. So like it's trying to help out the area through trade. It's not more of trying to clear out entire encampments, because that would be something for.
You're not
like,
trying to solve the bigger problem.
Yeah, I'm not trying to solve a bigger problem. I'm trying to solve a smaller problem and help people. So yeah, like it would have been easy. They may have been able to get something for free, but now because the faction I have has gotten it, and like they have to do is come to like a trading post, like that's worth the fee of like trading for supplies.
Got it.
So
yeah,
if they do need protection and say like, oh, you know, something like there's a warehouse outside out in the back of our town, we need it cleaned up. Yes, that would be something we do. We get part of the loot. We give you, something. You know, you could buy whatever we have back from us,
mm-hmm.
and that's payment.
Mm-hmm. I gotcha. Okay, yeah, totally makes sense. So here's another question: if we, this is a faction, right? A lot of these factions have some sort of symbol, some sort of, like they're called the Cleaners, right? When you think of, say, the Enclave, there's like the Enclave symbol. When you think the Brotherhood of Steel, there's the Brotherhood symbol with the sword and the gear and the wings. What is your symbol? Do you have like a symbol in mind for the Cleaners?
Oh, I didn't think of that, but one that comes to mind really quickly is a like an assault rifle and a broomstick crossed.
Okay.
Oh my god.
Nice.
That is great.
All right.
Yes.
All right. Now, do you have a mascot? Because some organizations or factions have mascots, right? Vault Tech, there's the Vault Tech symbol, but then there's Vault Boy, right? Nuka-Cola, you got the Nuka-Cola logo, but then you got Bottle and Cappy. I mean, it sounds like you're going to have to market yourself a little bit. Like, you might want to market yourself. People might need the help of the cleaners to clean out someplace because they're looking to resettle somewhere, or, you know, super mutants come and mess with their farm.
Not one that comes to mind, actually.
Okay. All right.
So,
Nova or Maverick, do you have any ideas for a mascot for the cleaners?
I'm thinking Roomba.
Roomba. Like a little robot that, like, it's like a little cleaning
bot. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. But, like, yeah, you know, it has to be a Fallout Roomba, though. So it's going to be this giant mechanical marvel that also has this little steam pipe that, like, just constantly poops a little, like, rings of smoke as it goes along.
little poof of smoke as it comes by and randomly sweeps up.
Yeah.
Scoot, scoot, scoot.
So, like, a steampunk version of a Roomba, then.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, like a 1950s
Roomba. That would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
An 1890s Roomba.
Yeah. His name's like Sweepy or something.
Oh, yeah. God, Sweepy, yes.
Oh, no, here comes Sweepy. Just this little thing just starts coming over the hill.
Sweepy. Yeah, a little advertisement pops up and is like, call on Sweepy. He'll clean your problem.
Just out of the dark, you see the electric glow of the two little eyes. It comes to the light. It just comes to the light, though, just two vacuum tubes.
Yeah, I can see the advertisement is like, you know, ghouls got you down, and then like the ghouls are like, wah, wah, and then Sweepy's like coming by, like sweeping up. He goes, not you guys again. And he pulls out a rifle, and then he sweeps up their dead bodies, and then goes off the screen.
And the best part would be
all the cleaners.
If it cleans up his cases too, which is like, can't leave those around.
Those are useful.
Loot.
Right.
They are useful.
Oh no. And he looks at him like he didn't notice them, that they were there before, and goes, oh, more loot. That's perfect. This is awesome. I love this idea. This is great, yeah, man. I knew you guys were going to come up with some cool stuff. All right. The cleaners. That's awesome. I would love, it would be amazing if somebody in our community did some quick little drawings or something of like some
amazing
of this stuff and posted it.
Or it would be best if they modded into Fallout 4.
Awesome.
Oh my god, they modded them in. Like a little, like a little cleaner. They had little jumpsuits, like a little cleaner. Like,
oh my god.
They look like the Ghostbusters.
Yeah, they'd be, yeah, they'd be like
with flamers though, instead of the
the proton packs.
Proton packs.
Yeah.
Proton
packs, yeah.
Oh my god, that would be so good.
Awesome.
All right.
Oh my god, this is great.
I would download that for my Fallout game.
Yeah, dude, that would be awesome. That
if
would
it
be
was
so
a
good
mod.
Yeah, you could even have a mod where, like, people, like, you know, there's like a, like, you add it into the Radiant Quest system where, like, somebody calls you up and is like, hey, are you a cleaner? I need some help. And you'd be like, yes.
You'd be subsidiary of the Minutemen.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Like,
oh,
you can connect
yeah
to the Minutemen. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
So Preston Garvey doesn't have to tell you everything.
instead you get this guy over, he's just mod little green, and so you get this guy over here to tell you everything to do now.
Sweepy like comes out, like, you know when you get like a message from the courier in like Skyrim and he's like, oh, I've been looking for you. Instead Sweepy comes up and it's like, boop boop boop, got a new mission.
Oh my god, that'd be perfect.
This is gonna show up.
Awesome.
This is gonna show up in Fallout 76 2 years from now.
I want compensation for my ideas.
Like, wait a minute, wasn't this a thing we talked about on the podcast?
Where did this come
from? Yeah,
Bethesda, I want a job if you do that.
Well, technically, Lil Green gets the job.
Hey, Hines, if you're listening,
there's Lil's idea.
I expanded on it. I want some credit.
Yeah, yeah. Who was it that pointed out that the alien invasion stuff that came out, what, 2 months ago, was an idea that we discussed on this show like 2.5 years ago?
Oh
yeah,
I don't know.
It was legitimately an idea that we discussed on the show, and then it is now a thing that showed up in Fallout 76. Anyway, I don't mind. Take all the ideas. Take all the ideas. That's fun. As long as it makes for good content in the game, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Who wants to go next? Nova, Maverick.
Yeah, sure. I'll go.
Nova.
So I was thinking more on the lines of like a Fallout 76 timeline. So not 200 years in the future, but I can still make it work in 200 years.
That's
in the future.
That's fine.
Okay. So I was thinking of this of the faction called the Brigade, which is a remnant U.S. National Guards unit that was stuck inside a city that who were on riot control duty. So,
okay.
Like, so I'm just, I put in Kansas City because that's where I live. And so I know the place best. So like the city was essentially an industrial city that was, it turned into an industrial city during the Sino-American War because it's a halfway point between East and West Coast. So a lot of railroads cross through here. So, it was a really big industrial hub and transportation hub. And so it was important that cities like this that are, halfway points between East and West Coast are kept intact and functioning. So Union Buster essentially came in, like the Brigade was a Union Buster essentially. Okay. They made sure that the workers were still working. They made sure that the industry was still flowing. They made sure the trains were still getting through. But then when the bombs fell though, they were contacted by a local enclave remnants that was just outside the city. And they were told to get the war machine back up and running again because the enclave wanted to continue fighting the war. So it ties into Eckhart again.
Okay.
But then that's when Eckhart loses contact though. And so it's left this local little war machine, it's a little enclave remnant to continue to get the brigade to go up again. So, but sadly though, they are very stripped of resources though, because most of their heavy equipment, their power armor, the tanks and IFVs were stripped from their brigade and sent over to China for the war effort. So they're very low on heavy infantry or heavy equipment, but they do have plenty of manpower that they recruited from the local populace because they have control of the local stockpiles. So just like the federal rationing stockpile that we saw in Fallout 4, well, those were spread across the city as well. And the brigade had access to all those. And so they used those to bolster the manpower to keep control and to begin rebuilding the city. But the main problem that they're coming into though is first of all, radiation sickness. Second of all, a resurgence of the blue flu that was continuing to ravage them. So they're really on, like they're fighting both a biological war, a pandemic, and also local raiders, outside raiders who are coming into the city to try and loot, people who are still trying to survive the war and don't want anything to do with the brigade. And so the entire premise is that they're trying to hold the city down. They're trying to restart the industry because the enclave wants them to begin producing more tanks. They want them producing more power armor units. And they want to eventually have the city ready for when they can begin to ship equipment from the West Coast east again. So like I was kind of thinking it would be like the enclave, once they did begin to reemerge again, they would need to have transportation from east to west, begin facilitating mining operations again to restart industry, to restart manufacturing, yeah. So they can begin to keep the war on with China. And this would be like a small little cog in the machine because it was still a US Army unit and they would, and the enclave was acting as if it was still a surviving U.S. Army general or general staff. And so that's why they were taking their orders from them.
Okay. So what differentiates them as being distinct from the enclave proper? So are they like a subgroup of the enclave?
Yeah. Yes. They're acting as a subgroup of the enclave, but okay. They don't know it though. And their main goal is really just to get the city functional again. So there's still a governing body. I'm not the governing body. There's still a military body who is operational. And so that's what kind of brings them away from the enclave is that they're not trying to like, you know, kill everyone. They're trying to make the city functional again.
Right. So they are acting as if they're taking orders from the U.S. government. They believe that they're still part of the U.S. chain of command.
They're still in martial law. That's how they're acting, as if the city's still under martial law, is still under their jurisdiction, and that they're the ones trying to keep the order until the government can be restored.
Again. I gotcha. Okay, so they don't, because they don't understand the bigger picture and
all that. Yes, correct.
So as the brigade, they are like their main goals. Would you say that their main goals are to further the goals of the United States military, but primarily in their specific location, looking and taking care of the people in the center of the country and specifically their city and their location?
Yeah, so that would be their main goal, but also they're doing it pretty harshly though, because as resources begin to dwindle, they have to just resort to more and more drastic measures where they can't imprison as many people anymore. They just begin executing those who begin to loot.
So this gets dark.
Yes. Of course it gets dark because it's Fallout.
Right.
It gets dark and that begins to build a like resistance to them, I haven't thought about that part really much yet, but like it begins to build up resistance to them. Another faction begins to emerge who begin to fight against them. And it just kind of becomes a civil war pretty much within the city, where the brigade is fighting an unconventional guerrilla, or the resistance fighting unconventional guerrilla war against the brigade is still using normal US military tactics of the time. And I like this because I really wish they would include this within Fallout. Like, they have tanks still. They sell those tanks that you see in Fallout 4 and 76. Mm. They have a couple of those remaining, which they managed to keep running because they cannibalized the rest of the tanks that were inside their unit. And so I think it'd be really cool to actually be able to see those the IFVs actually rolling around. And also, I would just love to see what kind of, because I was saying, Kansas City became a huge industrial city and I was also thinking, like, there'd be a bunch of resource facilities that they will hold on to for dear life and trying to uncover what was actually happening there, because they kind of rolled in and took over the facility, which was on lockdown at that point, and they aren't able to get through to the to the server banks to secure the data that they want, that they've been ordered to get for the Enclave. And so, like, that would be kind of a subplot for them if you were to play with them, that you'd be able to get access to this higher, super high tech technology. Like I was imagining a kind of hybrid suit between the T-45 and the T-51, where it's like this one company that was taking T-45 suits and trying to upgrade them and sell it to the US military, but it never really got anywhere though. So I was thinking that could be like a cool little piece of equipment that you would find.
Yeah.
Or that they begin to use later in the game if you do unlock that.
You've got me thinking about, like, I mean, if we do get a proper Fallout 5 sometime after the next Elder Scrolls game, so we're still looking around 10 years from now, honestly speaking. And I know a lot of people are like, oh my God, that's no way. 10 years. No. Yes. I mean, we've got Starfield, and then it's going to be at least 4 or 5 more years before we would get the next Elder Scrolls game, because it takes them that long for the main studio to do a game. And then for the main studio to do a Fallout 5 would take another 4 or 5 years after that. Now, we may get offshoot games like a New Vegas 2 or something like that. But imagine a Fallout 5 in fancy new engine with things like tanks and stuff.
Yep.
Imagine a massive battle with like power armor troops in a next, like not this new next gen that came out just a few years ago, but like next gen tech fighting tanks, power armor, where like your power armor can take a hit from like a tank round.
Yeah.
But it freaking blows off pieces of your power armor. Like, it's not like, oh, your power armor is damaged. No, like that chest piece is now blown open and you, the character, get like knocked back like 400 feet, and then you get back up and you're like, oh, crap. Oh, now I've got a hole in my palm here. You know, like
it is a high explosive round to the chest.
Yeah. And you're able to withstand it because it's power armor. But now your power armor is just busted open. And that was one thing you were able to withstand.
Or we even cooler is it's faulty. So like you're like, it's like when the joints in your legs like freezes up. And so you're kind of like dragging that behind you. You're limping.
Yeah. Yeah. It just really busts cool. And it doesn't work like anymore.
Dynamic.
Right. You can still use the jet. So you can like hop around from like one spot to the next, but then you can't really walk. So you're just like dragging a leg.
Yeah. You look back, it's like a little trench behind you.
Yeah. And the ground is deforming underneath you because the ground actually deforms when you move.
That would be awesome.
God, that would be amazing. Yeah. Or because you're in power armor, like you and three of your buddies like get around the tank and are able to like pick it up and like flip it over.
Oh my God. Tank tipping.
Yeah, tank tipping. You're like, well, we got to get in there somehow. Well, let's just tip it over and then peel off the top. All right. The armor on the bottom is a lot thinner. Let's tip it over.
I was imagining the tank crew's reaction from the inside. They're like, we're safer inside a tank. Also, this fish just comes through the bottom of the tank. Like,
oh my God.
Like a sardine can.
Think about it. Like, you don't need lots of thick armor on the bottom.
That would be terrifying.
Unless you expect dudes in power armor to come flip your tank over.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure the US military was not expecting power armor to be on the other side.
Right. They were expecting to fight, you know, Chinese soldiers and, you know, stealth
swarm
suits
tactics.
And, yeah, swarm tactics and things like that. Not other power armor, which would be an amazing thing to see in a future game.
Guys, what would be amazing is if it had battlefield kind of dynamics where you could actually topple entire buildings after you shoot it with a tank round or something or a mini nuke.
Oh my god, yeah, that would be amazing. That'd be amazing. Yeah. Maverick and Lil Green, what do you guys think about this idea? Will? Will's thinking. Oh, you're kind of muted still. Yeah.
There we go. Sorry.
There you go.
I actually like the idea. It sounds like in the early stages, it's like a National Guard almost.
Yeah, it is. Well, it literally is a National Guard unit deployed to because riots were happening, a civil unrest, mass civil unrest was happening within the Fallout universe, and so they were deployed to Kansas City to try and keep the peace and keep the city operational so the war effort could continue.
And supply lines are important during any conflict, so it makes sense that they would have places like this in the middle of the country.
Yeah, because as I'm forgetting his name, Field Marshal something something from the Franco-Prussian War said, an army marched on its stomach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. It does. So, I mean, we're kind of seeing that today in world events.
Yes, we are.
So,
yeah. Yeah. Maverick, what do you think?
What I think is that I'd be down for this too. Okay. I find it kind of really interesting that it would be this group didn't know who, like they think that they're still part that they're still taking orders from the army, but they're not. Which that'd be a great quest line all by itself.
Yeah, it'd be a cool plot twist. Just like you think it's a general somewhere, like
it'd be
Pentagon,
a wonderful
something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Because dissemination of information would be very difficult because information lines break down, and each individual group of the military would slowly come to realize what is actually going on in their own time. Yeah, absolutely. Nova, let's talk about symbolism. What would they keep the American army? Would they have their own subgroup symbolism once they realized that things were starting to change?
I was kind of thinking it would still be the U.S. Army patch that they would use, but it'd be more like customized though, because instead of having the 264th Brigade, those like the number itself would be scratched out on all the uniforms, mm-hmm. and then it would just be stitched into the brigade to symbolize that. Like the mental shift that is happening within this National Guard unit is that they no longer see themselves as a number because they don't see, like they don't have contact with anyone else. And so at the very beginning of it, they would still go by whatever brigade number they were. But like as the years wear on, they don't have contact with anyone except for this one general or this one group of high commanders somewhere within the wastes. Like I said, just outside of Kansas City, though, with an underground bunker. And they just begin to think of themselves as the brigade within the city.
Right.
And
so they would grow in camaraderie with themselves more than with the greater military.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the people that are oppressing me and refer to them as the brigade, like, oh, no, the brigade is coming. Better hide whatever we just stole or something like that.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of my mental justification for naming them the brigade, because just like we say the police, we don't disseminate between which police precinct they're from. We say the police.
Yeah.
And so
I got you.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that was kind of what I was thinking when I was naming them.
I don't know if anyone got my joke.
No, I didn't hear it.
The band, the police, I started singing.
Oh, okay.
You don't have to put on the red light. Anyway, I can't sing that high. His voice is so high. Roxanne. Anyway, this is a cool idea. Obviously it ties in with the events and the details of things. And so you've done put a lot of thought into this. This is cool.
Yeah.
Well, cool stuff. Well,
yeah, thank you. I appreciate the positive feedback.
Yeah, man. I could totally see this playing out in like a scenario in a game as being like a side group that you have to deal with and you know, the evolution of that group and kind of how that plays out.
Yeah.
So, well, cool. Well, we need to take a break, thank our patrons, and then we're going to come back and talk with Maverick here and hear his thoughts on this. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Hello there, old chap. Good to see another of General Atomic's finest, still eager to serve.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. This is where I get to thank you guys and the rest of our patrons. So big thanks to all 53 of you guys. And that includes I'm the Creeper, our Sentry Bot, our tier 5 level patron, and all 53 of you. And if this show is helping you get through your workday, your drive to work, your workout, or the $500 bill that you paid the vet in order to fix your dog's toe because the toenail broke and her toenail got infected and she listened to podcasts while taking your dog to the vet, then go to patreon.com/falloutlorecast and check out all the different tiers where you can get ad-free episodes and join us on future episodes of the show like this, where we can talk about all sorts of things, you know, Fallout stuff, and you can get t-shirts and all sorts of wonderful things. But thank you to everybody. Genuinely, I couldn't make this a full-time job if it wasn't for you guys listening to the show, helping to support, and I'd love to give you stuff back even for just a few bucks. You can get some extra things, so go check that out. And also, we have two new reviews that came in over the last few days. We have one from JB82665. This is on Apple Podcasts, and JB is from the United States. Awesome podcast, 5 stars. Not sure if you still read this on the show or not. I do, and you're going to be very surprised when you finally catch up to almost 200 episodes in, because I'm still pretty early in your episodes, but love your podcast. I run heavy equipment for work, so I listen to the same 5 songs radio every radio station plays, gets old, and then I found your Lorecast. Yeah, dude, I totally get that. I totally get the whole listen to the same music over and over again. So yeah, podcast so much better. I don't get to play video games much anymore, so it's nice to listen to your podcast and remember the good times I've had playing Fallout. Thanks, robots. Well, thanks, JB. I hope you enjoy the rest of the episodes and someday are able to catch up to this episode and you'll hear me reading you out your thing. So thank you so much for taking the time to do this. We also have one from MC5 from Australia who writes, "So addictive. I am new to this podcast, but in 2 weeks I've listened to 50 episodes and can't stop. Such a great podcast that explains lots of the interesting lore and so easy to listen to." MC5, thank you so much for taking the time to write that. And to everybody who even just drops in a little 5-star rating, either on Apple or Spotify, thank you so much for doing that. It really does help this maintain a high ranking in search on those platforms and lets people know, hey, it's worth checking out the show. So thanks to everybody. I really do appreciate your help with this. I couldn't do this if it wasn't for you guys. I'd just be yelling out into the internet. So I really do appreciate the help from all of you. All right, let's move on with the rest of the show.
If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them.
All right, guys. Maverick, you're an old pro at this whole faction talk thing. What are you thinking? If you were to make your own faction, what would you do?
I know, but before I do that last review, yeah, I know the feeling tipping on the red.
The feeling of what?
I know the feeling of listening to the same songs over and over.
Yeah.
I know that feeling.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Yep. Being on the road, same radio stations. New town, new radio station, same old song.
Yep, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Different people, same songs.
Yep. So, okay, so let's talk factions. What are you thinking?
I like factions. I like factions. Factions are fun.
Yeah.
Actually, this was an old thing. I actually had to look this up to make sure I remember this correctly. Because I was trying to make a mod back in the day. It didn't work out, or I didn't finish it or whatever. So it's like half completed. I got to find it back again.
Okay.
It's called The Nation of Robots.
Oh, yeah. I remember when you were doing this. Yes.
Yeah. There would be someone else. This would take place down near Pensacola, Florida. Down near that Navy base down there.
Okay.
Where it'd basically be a militaristic type atmosphere based on conquest and a bunch of other things, trying to gain power and create spheres of influence, kind of like with the Soviet Union.
That's what I'm all about.
Basically what everyone else was trying to do during World War, like right before World War II or whatever.
Okay.
Like with China.
Right.
I've been reading a lot on history before that, listening to a lot of documentaries. So please forgive me if you don't get these.
All right. So this is the Nation of Robots, and robots being me. And I was the leader.
Yeah, you.
I was the leader of this group.
Yeah. You're the emperor.
Oh, I was the emperor. And so I was leading a group that was coming up from it's basically the northern coast. It's almost like Alabama.
Yeah. It's almost.
It's like the northern coast of Florida. And there's a military base up there, up on the coast over there. And because I don't actually live up on that part of the state, but I absolutely know where you're talking about. I've been over there. This is a group that like originates from there and has plans to then move north and kind of retake the country.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Basically conquest and power, destroy anything that comes in their way. Maybe create trade line, basically anything what a nation would actually do. Even though it'd be more militaristic, kind of like a more radicalized version of the Brotherhood of Steel.
Okay, so there's somewhere between like the Brotherhood of the Steel. I almost called them the Brotherhood of the Steel and the Brotherhood of the Traveling Pants and Caesar's Legion.
I would like to say more of the if the Caesar's Legion, the Brotherhood of Steel, and the Enclave had a baby.
Wow, three people having a baby would be an amazing feat.
I know it would, but the qualities of each of these.
I got you. I totally get the idea, though. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Okay, all right. So they would like high, like very militaristic, high reliance on technology, military weaponry, power armor, laser weapons. I'm assuming that you'd kind of go in that direction.
Yeah, that direction. Except they would have the in the Fallout Roundtable, we call it Whirlybirds, but it's called, you know, the Vertibirds.
The Vertibirds, right. Yeah.
They would have those, but they would also have the Stingray aircraft that were in those hangars on this Navy base. They'd fix them up, basically get air superiority, blow up everything. Fun times.
All right, so they would just conquest the rest of the U.S. up from the south.
Yeah.
Now, would the plan be to head up to the Capital Wastes? Are they taking back like the northeast part of the country?
Well, what in the background of this, their original plan was to go to the Capital Waste because of all the resources that were up there. Along the way, probably going through what's left of South Carolina, North Carolina.
Okay, so they're heading over to the East Coast. They're going like to the coast and then north.
Yeah, they're heading up the coast pretty much. And then from there, they're going to head west.
Mm. Okay, so like maybe like a crossover to like Ohio, Chicago, and then
and then to New Vegas, and then over from over to what's left of Los Angeles.
I gotcha. Lil Green, Nova, you guys have any questions about this? We went from like the cleaners, which was kind of fun and happy, like to like Nova's idea, which started to get dark, to now Maverick's idea, which is like conquesting the US and destroying everyone in their path.
Would they even be able to fly is the question with the Stingrays? Like the airframes have got to be super degraded by now.
I mean, they're not wrong.
Well, unless they were able to get the materials to kind of remake them around the shape of the frame, using the shape of the frames as like a model.
Space.
To rebuild like basically from the inside out. Theoretically, they could if they had the right materials.
It's not like an interesting faction. I just question, like, because you miss Georgia as well. He said, let's go up north through South Carolina, North Carolina, skipping over Georgia.
Well, theoretically, they could head.
Well, no,
yeah. They'd have to still go through part of Georgia. But yeah, I mean, there's not like if they went along the coastline that's like Savannah. There's really not a whole lot of that part of Georgia.
Yeah.
They could go up to Atlanta and then over to the Carolinas. Either way.
I just forgot a full state going up right. The coast.
That's fine.
Oopsies. Went through that state today.
It's okay. I mean, I used to tour in a band, and you know, touring anywhere north from Florida, you have to go through Georgia, and so much of Georgia is just like interstate with nothing in it. And at some point, you have to, you know, take a pit stop, you know, get gas, you go to the bathroom, eat something, and every one of those little towns off the interstate looks the same. So we would joke whenever we'd pull over, we'd be like, oh, where are we? Somebody's driving, somebody else is taking a nap in the car, somebody wake up. Oh, where are we now? Oh, don't worry, we're at Dump Truck Georgia again. Like every town on the way through Georgia is Dump Truck Georgia.
Sounds like a great experience.
Yeah. Because it's just, I mean, it's not, I'm not, you know, there are lots of nice little towns that you can go to. Not the interstate exits. Those are all Dump Truck Georgia. So if you do live in a nice town in Georgia, that's not the one I'm talking about. Don't at me. I'm just talking about the interstate exit.
Don't send us hate comments, please. Yeah,
no hate comments. I'm just talking about the interstate exit with the IHOP and the, you know, the gas station. That little spot
right there. I think I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yep.
The IHOP. But that's not pepper on it. That's ash on your eggs right there.
Yeah. Yeah. The IHOP and the Awful House and
the Awful House.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
That's a really interesting faction, though. It sounds like it's pretty cumbersome, though. Like, I'm kind of curious as to how that would play out within the game. If like it would be a constant search for new fusion cells or anything else like that. Because you said the robots. Correct me if I'm wrong, right?
No. The robots named after me. They aren't robots.
Oh, they're droids. They're people. Okay.
They are people. Robots is people. Me, the leader, whose name is Robots.
Okay, I get it now. Okay, that's where I was going. Okay.
The Emperor is me. is designed after me. Yes.
Okay, I see. That's where I've been getting confused at. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I'd love to see how far they could go before they just, like, are you gonna become like Alexander the Great and just march your army until they die of exhaustion?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm just a military. Obviously, I'm a tactical military genius. I would just, you know, nobody can stand Nuka-Cola against shirt. Me. Yeah.
Nuka-Cola for all.
Yeah, I'll make them all of these promises that I won't keep, and then I'll just murder them.
Yeah,
that'd probably be as ruthless as Genghis Khan.
There you go.
Who knows?
Killed 10% of the population of the world. That's all.
Genghis robots.
Did you know that Genghis Khan killed 10% of the population of the world?
Yes,
I did know that. Yeah.
That's insane.
It is a stupid, scary statistic.
That is ridiculous.
Weird.
Yeah.
I don't think it was Genghis Khan himself. I think it was the Khan line of people who did.
Right. It was his forces.
It was all his men.
Right. All right. So, Lil, what do you think? What do you think this?
It is honestly like, it's an interesting faction, it's one of those things of like, I want to see how far it could go and just how bad it could get, even.
Yes, it sounds like it could get
Oregon Trail. You could make like an Oregon Trail Fallout game.
Yeah, it reminds me, of Custer's March, like during like the Civil War, like how he just like literally like burning everything.
No.
That is Sherman.
Sherman's March. Yeah. That's what, all right.
Yeah.
Sherman.
Down to the
Sherman's
coast March. Through Georgia. Speaking yes. of, he visited all. Georgia. He visited yeah, every dump truck Georgia on the way.
Yes. Well, he yeah, made yeah, it a dump truck Georgia.
Yes.
Yes. Burnt that crap to the ground, man. No.
But it just seems like it'd be the post-apocalyptic version of Sherman's March.
Yeah, so there you go.
In reverse, though, he'd be going north instead of south.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. Just crossing the
still.
X. Yeah.
Well, Maverick, you get revenge on Dump Truck Georgia.
Dump Truck Georgia is coming for you now. You better watch out, Maverick. What's the symbol? What's the symbol of robots? Terrible faction that's going to take over the world.
Yeah, awful, awful, morally wrong faction that I've thought of.
Is it my face? Is it
now.
Me doing like the ball boy? Like thumbs up.
The flag would be red. Red. It would have your face on it.
Mm-hmm.
Just smiling like an evil smile.
I really like this face.
I was hoping for Buddy Bot.
It could just be Buddy Bot.
Oh my God, Buddy Bot.
Or Buddy Bot.
There you go. There
I think you imagine him, his voice playing over loudspeakers as propaganda. People of Dump Truck Georgia, do not be alarmed.
We come
People of Dump Truck Georgia, we come in peace. Do not be afraid. We bring lots of Nuka-Cola. And not murder. We don't bring any murder. None at all.
As I'm looking at the distance in the previous Dump Truck Georgia, just like billowing smoke in the distance.
What is that smell in that awful black smoke in the distance?
It's not burning flesh.
It's not burning bodies, I promise.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
Accept us with open this arms. We're really your dark. Saviors.
This is really dark. Oh man.
Yeah, it'd probably be something like you'd turn into like a messiah. Like I can save you. Join us as we keep moving north or whatever.
So Maverick, does this faction actually have to create a buddy bot that like is that the acting emperor?
It's a Securitron like, buddy bot.
Yeah, it's like an actual buddy bot. Like I, as the real emperor, is like behind the scenes, and then buddy bot's like the puppet emperor that everyone thinks is the emperor.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be wonderful.
Like everyone's like, oh, that's robots. That. Robots is buddy bot. Like is the emperor, but it's actually like a person behind the scenes who's actually making all the decisions. So if anyone takes out buddy bot, well, they can just fix him because he's a robot.
Yeah, the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it'd be amazing though if he's a Securitron, but in an Assaultron or a Sentry bot, mm-hmm. and he rolls up to you, knocks your gate, and Buddy Bot's voice comes out of it.
Right, right, yeah. Buddy Bot just kind of starts talking, or like a yeah. I can totally picture that. Yeah,
yeah. But here's the most important question though: how would you personally get around?
Me as the emperor, yeah. I think I probably live in just like a little room somewhere and I never leave it.
I was thinking you're like getting hauled around on a stretcher with your entire setup around you. So, like you're always at home. And then like as your force are attacking, you're just constantly like you're having your podcast. Mm, like you're doing a play by play for it though over loudspeakers.
I think I want like an airship like the Pridwin. And I just like am constantly awesome. Like floating over everybody. Yeah.
Pretending it's like a sporting event or something.
Right. But but it has like big loudspeakers with Buddy Bot just like repeating like propaganda, you know, like
it's a repurposed Goodyear blimp.
Yeah, 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 yeah. With a big Buddy Bot face on the side. It says things all the time.
The most innocent face in the wasteland is slaughtering you right now. How do you feel, bud?
Join the robots faction. We have Nuka-Cola and the hugs. Yay.
Like this is the worst propaganda ever, but somehow it's working.
Come to our side. We have cookies. Nuka-Cola cookies.
Yeah, right. Well, this is a fun idea, Maverick. This is awesome.
Yeah, everyone just made this idea so much better.
This is why we do this, because, you know, multiple brains are better than one.
I would love to see a Cleaners versus Robots Empire just go head to head, and then it's Buddy Bot and the Roomba just duking it out.
Sweepy?
Sweepy.
What does Sweepy sound like?
Oh, God.
What is Sweepy's
good
voice?
Question.
I think Sweepy has a low voice.
Yeah, a lower voice.
Sweepy.
More distinguished.
Sweepy's like a cool, Is he like fancy? Is he European or something?
Would he be like an Al Capone
hey there, buddy
type
bot.
Character?
Hey there, buddy bot.
What are you doing
in this part of town? This yeah. town ain't big enough for the two of us.
Oh, he's like a Western. He's like a Western fella.
Robot.
He's like, how did they have buddy bot? This town ain't big enough for the both of us.
Honestly, I like
somebody's got a mosey on out of here, and it ain't going to be me.
He just has spurs on his wheels.
and a little speaker on the side that goes,
oh my God.
That's everyone's like, where is that music coming from? And that's just the sound that happens.
Little Roomba comes.
Yeah, that's the sound that happens that just lets everybody know that he's about to, like, you know, take them out. He's about to do his cleaning. That's the only warning, is that there's a...
And everyone's so confused, and they just go down too easily.
Like, what? What is that?
It's a mysterious stranger moment, though, where he just appears out of nowhere. Sweepy just appears out of nowhere. His music plays. Wah, 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 44.
Yeah, and then he slowly... he's got, like, little treads, and then he slowly just goes... Yeah. Back into the shadows. Sweeping as he goes.
It's like that one Homer Simpson meme where it's like, oh, okay. He just disappears into the bush, but Sweepy the like disappears like a storm drain or something like that.
Yep. Yep, totally. Well, guys, this has been super fun. Thanks for joining me again.
Of course.
I would love to see people's pictures about what these factions might look like, or their you know, some of the characters that we've designed around them. Symbols and things. Well, tell you what, let's go back through and feel free to share ways that people can reach out to you, what you got going on, anything like that. Lil Green, got anything fun happening?
Not right now. I've just been working a lot. So I'm hoping next month to actually have some free time to do something interesting.
Okay. Well, good luck. Good luck with that.
Yeah, but I mean, if anybody wants to reach out to me, like, I check Discord a couple of times a day, so if you tag me in something, I'll respond to it when I see it.
Yeah, send him some cleaner drawings.
Oh,
on
my
Discord.
God. I'm tempted to go, like, tomorrow night to actually try and come up with a logo for it.
That would be amazing. Or if you found, like, you know what would be really funny, is if you went to, like, one of those old stores that have, like, cheap old items that nobody wants,
like a thrift store,
like an old thrift store or something, and you found just some old pieces of things that you could kind of put together to make it look like it was like a robot. And then you
don't tempt me.
And then you took pictures because you're a photographer, and you took like stylized photos of like this like cleaner bot that you made out of old, I don't know, radio components and like vacuum cleaner parts.
I think I know what I'm doing when I had the free time.
That would be amazing. And then also has to have like googly eyes on it somewhere.
I love the googly eyes.
That would be amazing.
Whoever like, rolls around, they just start spinning in his head.
This is Sweepy. Sweepy. All right, dude. Well, thanks for joining again.
Of course. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah. Yeah. Maverick, I know you got a podcast that you do.
Yeah, I got a podcast out there. It's called The Fallout Roundtable. It's on the Rocket Club here on the Robots Radio Network. We just released episode number 8.
Ocho.
Yesterday. If you want to reach me, you'd probably have to go through Discord because I don't have a Twitter. I don't have any. I'm not building anything up there unless you want to follow the Fallout Roundtable official Twitter, which is at Fallout RTV. Any other time, if you just tag me in Discord, I'm on the road. Like 3 weeks at a time.
Yeah, and send him a note on the channel. You've got your own channel too for the Fallout Roundtable.
Yeah, so yeah, that too.
You'll just post stuff in there. He'll see that too. Well, awesome, dude. Thanks for joining.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nova, you got anything cool going on?
Yeah, working a lot like usual. I have two more classes that I'm making. I'm a service and therapy dog trainer, so I'm taking two more classes for that. Taking up a lot of my time. Besides that, doing my usual YouTube thing. I started a TikTok, Supernova Gaming. If you want to follow me there, my Twitter is Supernova13, and I mostly just post nerd stuff there, both TikTok and Twitter. Currently I'm working on a video that is an introduction into FEV, Super Mutants, and Ghouls. It's pretty much an introduction to the abominations of Fallout, and I'm hoping to expand on from there, going into each of those three individual topics. And it's been pretty good so far. School's been keeping me very busy, so I haven't posted in a month, so I'm hoping to get that out soon.
Yeah, well, good luck, man. That sounds like a lot.
It is, yeah. But yeah, it's worth it, though.
Well, cool. Awesome. Yeah, go check out Nova stuff. That sounds really cool. Well, guys, thank you for joining me again. I've, let's see, do I have anything cool going on? I've got, of course, all of my shows, robotsradio.net for my shows, the other shows beyond just Fallout Lorecast that I do, Elder Scrolls and Mass Effect and Cyberpunk and The Witcher and the Lord of the Rings Lorecasts. And then also I've got my birthday's coming up. May 8th. So I've got like a, what is that? Like a week and a little bit, almost 2 weeks. So I don't know if I'm going to do something fun. Maybe we'll do like a fun hangout, play games on, you know, online or something. I don't know. If you guys have some fun ideas for something we could do to celebrate, let me know. But that's what I got going on. And I will see you guys again next week on the regular, just a regular episode that's coming up next. And until then, stay safe in the wasteland. Thanks for joining, everybody. Have a good week. See you guys later. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.